Tired of settling for less than the best with your team's dry land program? Swimstrong Dryland is the answer you've been looking for. With world-class dry land programming for every age group, customized to fit your team's needs, nutritional coaching and education centered on the latest evidence-based research, leadership training and character development to promote an athlete-driven culture, sports psychology education and mental skills training, coaches' corners to promote collaboration, data-driven performance analysis, and an unrivaled family of athletes, coaches, and teams, fast swimming starts here.
Hey guys, I've been trialing some revolutionary new swim tech, and now you can get your hands on it too. This is EO Swim Better, a swimming evolution in the palm of your hands. Improve your technique with EO Swim Better.
Analyze your stroke technique with EO's Swim Better handset. Go to eolab.com, use code Brett at checkout and save 10%.
All right, here we go. James Magnuson, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, Brett. Glad to be here again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, mate. You kind of went quiet for a while, and then you hit the media again, mate. You're back in it.
We're back. Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to my mum and dad about it just after it all happened. And they're like, aren't you sick of this now? Don't you just want to, you know, ride off quietly into the sunset and chill out? No more media attention. But such is the nature of the sport, and you know, my name in Australia has always garnered a lot of interest and feedback at times. So here we are.
Yeah. Well, for the people that don't know what we're talking about, let's kind of fill them all in. So we're talking about the enhanced games and your willingness and participation in that. It's created a big storm. There's some announcements coming out, which we're going to talk about. And look, it's interesting, very interesting. But first of all, where did it all start for you? Where did the idea, or where did you hear about the enhanced games?
So I work in the media here in Australia, and probably 6 months ago, we had Aaron D'Souza from the Enhanced Games on our breakfast radio show here in Sydney. And he spoke about the enhanced games and the possibilities. And that started the thought process for me then, sort of 6 months ago. They then did a press release more recently announcing the backing of Peter Thiel, a billionaire philanthropist. He's been in the tech space. He's a super successful businessman. And then it started to get more serious. You know, they had the backing, they had the funding, which meant they didn't really need individual sponsorships to get the games off the ground. And I was talking to one of my mates after reading his press release. And, you know, the goal of these games is to break records, to further human performance, to see what's possible. I was talking to my friend, I was saying, you know, which athletes are they going to get that are going to be able to do this? Because I'm of a strong belief, and love to get your opinion on it as well, Brett. You couldn't just get any average teenage or young athlete and put them on an enhancement program or a supplement program that we haven't seen before, but you couldn't just get an average athlete, put them on that program and expect them to break world records. You already need a world-class level of skill acquisition, thousands of hours practicing a sport, and a level of natural ability and talent to break a world record. So I was chatting to my friend about it, and he said, well, would you ever do it? And I said, oh, look, you're retired for 5 years now. I'm not sure it's something that I'd want to do, but, you know, if theoretically speaking, you know, if the money was right, it's something I'd consider because the concept is quite exciting, quite interesting. I was intrigued by it, as most of us are. Or, you know, if not everyone, most guys have sat around at their local pub or bar with their mates at some point and said, you know, what is the human body capable of? How fast could we be if performance-enhancing drugs were legal? And he said, well, how much would you do it for? And I said, oh, I don't know, $1 million, you know. But, and $1 million is a bit of a throwaway line for a lot of people, you know. Oh, for $1 million, mm-hmm. I'd do it. And I did a podcast here in Australia. It was a sports podcast. It's a little bit more satirical, if anything. They called me up in the middle of the day, just out of the blue, said, hey, we're live at the moment. Just wondering, and I know the guys, just wondering if you've heard about this enhanced games. I said, yeah, I've heard about it. They said, what do you think? Are they going to be able to get athletes? Are they going to be able to break records? And I echoed the same sentiment that I spoke with my mate about. And then I said, hey, how about this? Here's an exclusive for your podcast. For $1 million, I'll come on board on the enhanced games and break the world record for the 50 freestyle. Kind of forgot about the line, went to bed. And then Northern Hemisphere time, that podcast, you know, goes global. Wake up in the morning, and Aaron D'Souza from the Enhanced Games says, we've got $1 million US in escrow waiting for you to come on board and break the world record for the 53. And so he called my bluff a little bit. But from there, I had to do a really quick analysis of the situation, risk versus reward, think about the pros and cons of doing something like this, because it was catching fire really quickly in the media world. And I thought about it. I spoke to a couple of people close to me, and I thought, you know, this is actually a great opportunity. I'm going to do it.
Wow. Wow. Interesting how it all came about like that. I like the idea of the risks and rewards. I want to go through some of that. But in terms of just the games themselves, like just to get an idea of what the idea behind it is, what sports does it involve, and when is it actually going to happen?
So at this stage, it will be swimming, running, gymnastics, weightlifting, and combat sports. So I guess in some ways, it's sort of your core sports for an Olympic game. Certainly, I'd say the core sports when it comes to viewership, TV ratings. I think the idea is they're the sports that most express kind of those Olympic values of higher, faster, stronger, which are most prone to being improved by enhancements. In terms of when the games will be run, the plan, I think, originally was sort of mid to late 2025. Those dates aren't locked in yet because it hasn't gone to auction for broadcast rights and the like, and the broadcast will, you know, certainly have a say in dates and that kind of thing. But I'd imagine that would be the sort of dates we'd be looking at is mid to late next year. Got an Olympic Games August this year, so you want to give that a bit of breathing space and also give athletes time to prepare for the games next year.
Yeah. Mate, in terms of, let's say, the backlash, first of all, how has that come in the form of, you know, since you've made kind of this announcement and this the idea that you were potentially going to compete in this, what type of backlash have you got from it?
Probably the main thing straight away where I was like, what about the kids? Like, what sort of role model are you being for young swimmers? And you know, that was definitely something that that's probably the hardest part of it, right? But I think for me, I can separate my career because I've been retired so long. Retired for 5 years. I was probably one of the most tested athletes in Australia during my career just because of the way that it panned out. You know, I had a quick rise to prominence on a world stage and was swimming in an event which garnered a lot of interest. So for me, I can separate those two careers and say to any young athletes, hey, this is what I did in my career as an athlete. And for me, my goals were always around Olympics, world records, all that world, which is heavily, heavily tested. And, you know, I adhered to that my entire career. So there's never been a question mark over that side. But this new endeavor, I would say, is equal parts human performance, entertainment, intrigue, seeing what the human body is capable of. And if I was to compare it to something else, right? Like, so for parents that are worried about setting an example and the like, there's so many sports out there that you see these sports on TV, you see these athletes on TV. Can they be role models for the way that they live their life and they conduct themselves? Absolutely. But should your kids be doing exactly what those athletes are doing on TV? No. If you watch Lewis Hamilton race in the Formula One on TV on the weekend, does that mean that your kid should then go out, get in his car and drive 300 kilometers an hour in the street? Probably not. But take the lessons from Lewis Hamilton of dedication, of commitment, of learning his art and his trade and being the best in the world. If your kid watches Deontay Wilder go out on the weekend and knock someone out in a boxing match, does that mean your kid should then go and fight another kid on the street? No. So as parents and as adults, we have to decipher what parts of sport we use as or what people in sports we use as role models as for kids, but also what aspects of their life we want our kids to model off those athletes. And for parents that sit there and say you're a cheat or you're encouraging cheating, it's not really analyzing the situation and thinking about it more deeply.
When they talk about enhancement and you kind of dive into this a little deeper, I don't know much about the enhancements that can happen, can take place, the options that you have. What have you looked at in terms of options that are out there? And just from kind of initially, I mean, obviously there's a team of people called, you know, at the Enhanced Games, but are they supplying the enhancements? Are they expecting you to get them on your own? Dive deeper into the enhancement side of it for me.
Yes, they have quite an extensive team of doctors and medical experts on board already within the organization. And for athletes out there thinking about doing this and weighing up pros and cons, you can go on the Enhanced Games website and see who those medical professionals are and who will be advising along the way. So I will definitely be working with them closely throughout the process, but I'll also seek external advice as well, just as a backup and to cover my bases. A really important thing, and something that I think is going to change a lot of people's perspective on this: any substances used during the games must be FDA approved and supplied and prescribed by a medical professional. So it's not going to be buying things out of the boot of the jacked guy at your local gym, right? This is all done by doctors, with doctors, under medical supervision. I'll be getting constant testing to make sure that I'm not having any ill effects. And if there are any ill effects of any substances at any stage, I would cease use of those substances and look to alternatives. Like yourself, Brett, I'm not 100% across everything that's out there, because we come from the world of strict testing, WADA, USADA, ASADA here in Australia protocols. So it's not something that we spend any time in our career looking into or researching. But I think the space where this is going to be interesting is, and it's a fast-growing industry in the US, is the anti-aging space. So you're talking your testosterone replacement, peptides, stem cells, because in my opinion, and we can probably delve in this a little more deeply, but my first goal, first and foremost, will be to get my body back in the shape of my early 20s. I don't think I need to get to super freak, superhuman areas to have a good crack at this world record. Part of what I want to have for this world record attempt is the super suits that were around in 2009. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that we compare apples with apples when we're comparing human performance. So first and foremost, I want the same suit as Caesar had, which would have been nice to use during my career, but I want the same suit as Caesar had in 09. I'm going to talk to Arena about that and get that done. And then I want to get my body back to my early 20s. From there, I think internally we'll do testing. We'll do some race scenarios and stuff like that. See where we are. See what that world record is, and go from there as to how far we push it in terms of supplementation. But that anti-aging space, it hasn't really hit the shores here in Australia, but I'm sure you've seen in America that the anti-aging clinics and the different types of things that can be done, particularly for men at the moment, in terms of testosterone replacement, helping yourself with energy levels, with libido, with just feeling like a better version of yourself. Because really, at this day and age, with the medical advancements that we've made, there's no need to age at the same rate or feel ordinary in sort of middle to older ages.
I agree. That's interesting that you brought up the suits. I didn't realize that was an option there in terms of doing this. That makes sense. I mean, like you said, if you're going to break the world record was done in a suit. So why wouldn't you have the same conditions, I guess? It sounds like, though, with that, it sounds like you're preparing for kind of a time trial where you're going out and you're just putting on a suit, getting your enhancements at a particular time and just posting a time for a bunch of cash. But that kind of goes away from the enhanced games themselves, where you're competing against other people. Is that the idea you have, like trying to break the world record before the games or getting it at the games?
So I'd have to get it at the games for that $1 million US against other athletes. But that other part of it would be behind closed doors for me, measuring myself, where am I at, and how far do I need to push this thing?
Right.
No doubt they're gonna be other big name athletes come on board, right? Will those athletes? I think athletes that are going to be swimming at this current Olympics in Paris and maybe athletes that are only recently retired might be a little bit more hesitant just because it's so close to their current career. I'm not sure. But I'm sure there'll be other big-name athletes come on board. It'd be pretty cool from our world, right? Like if a Caesar or a Fred Bousquet or someone like that came on board. That would be nice.
I mean, I guess it's a possibility. They've been out of it for a little bit, so there's certainly a chance.
but with this new added element, I think even though as athletes we're in our 30s, it makes it possible again, which is a really nice part of this. Swimming is, for the most part, I mean, Anthony Irvine is an outlier, but for the most part, it's a young man's game because of, and particularly in Australia, we push it so hard from such a young age. Like our age group swimming is so intense in Australia. We have, I mean, as a 100-meter freestyler, I was doing 80 to 100 kilometer weeks from 14 years of age, which not 100% sure how that helped my 100 freestyle, but that's and that wear and tear on my body over the years. But now, as I guess you call an older athlete in my 30s, now there's a possibility to wind back the clock, to refocus and be a lot more specific in this preparation. And I don't see a reason now why at 32 years of age, I can't do this again.
You were, like you said, you were regarded as more of a 100 freestyler in your career, I guess. And that's where you ultimately had most of your success. Why didn't you consider the 100? Why is it the 50 for you now?
So for a starter, I never trained for a 50 freestyle, which I think is also really interesting. We had two, I mean, you were in Camp Caesar and you guys were focused on front end speed. And in Camp James over here in Australia with Brent Best at helm, we were focused pretty much purely on back end speed. Two opposite ways to approach a race that were both equally exciting and you know, as match race made it a lot of fun as well. But I never really focused on 50 freestyle. coming through as a swimmer in Australia, I wanted to be a 100 freestyler. And every coach that I swam with until I came down to swim with Brent wanted me to be a 200 or 400 freestyler. That was just our obsession in Australia.
I'm laughing in the background, by the way. It's so true.
Yeah. we're obsessed in Australia with 200, 400. You know, let's push these athletes out as far as they can go. I mean, I was swimming 47s in 100, and all people were talking about was, when are you going to do 200? That was just the psyche here. I mean, it's probably started to change a little bit. You know, we've had extended success in 100 freestyle now that we've gone from Eamon to me to Cam to Kyle. We've had some extended success in the 100 freestyle. So hopefully that's coming through in our coaching ranks in Australia. But we've always been obsessed with distance freestyle in Australia for whatever reason. Maybe in the age of social media and TikTok, we can reduce people's attention span and stop them sitting down 15 minutes to watch average pace swimming. I don't know. That would be nice.
Well, Cam's definitely shifting it, you know, with his world title and then, you know, finishing second, then, you know, potentially still a favorite to win gold in Paris in the 50. So there's definitely a shift. And I think what Cam is doing ultimately in Australia is he's getting people to look at it and say, well, what is this guy doing and why is he doing it? How's he doing it? And it's attractive. Like, you know, I think he's pulling in other swimmers, you know, and getting them to think about like, wow, hang on, there's another way to do it. And you can swim really fast. You can have fun doing it, you know? So that's cool. And I'm glad you've kind of taken that approach too. In terms of the change to your lifestyle, I mean, you're a businessman now and you've kind of moved on with your life, like you said, 5 years to go back into the pool and be an athlete again. Enhanced or not, it's still a lot of work and it's still a massive commitment. So what have you thought about in terms of how you want to approach the training so far?
So I want to come at it from a very different angle, and I definitely have taken inspiration, I guess, from what I've seen Cam doing, that more strength focus. So I look at what Cam's doing and I think it's really interesting, right? So he's coming at it from a very different angle, and he wants to be stronger both in the water and out of the water. And Cam and I are still very different athletes. So without knowing exactly, I would say Cam is probably, I'm just going to get a converter here for my friends in the US. I'd say Cam's maybe like between 175 and 180 pounds. Do you say that's about right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be coming into this around like the 230 pound mark. So different sized athletes, but different, probably power to weight ratios as well. But, you know, he's coming at this from a strength athlete. Well, I'm coming at this now from, I've been retired from 5 years and my numbers in the gym are probably going to be a lot different from most swimmers because I've had 5 years now to work on that without swimming 60 to 80 kilometers a week. I've got numbers that would probably if I re-entered the world, the swimming world right now, I'd probably have some of the biggest numbers in the world from a gym perspective. So that's exciting, and that's something that I never had time to work on during my swim career. What I've started doing, so I've probably had about 4 weeks of general prep now. First thing I did was bring on board a strength and conditioning coach and change up my gym training to get more explosive. So a lot more plyometrics, a lot more jumping, a lot lower rep ranges because I need to reshape my body a bit. You know, my legs and butt are probably a little bit bigger than I need them to be. From a muscle bulk perspective. And then I did a bunch of testing. I did a screening the other day and a bunch of testing on all my mobility and strength with some really high level stuff over here in Australia, probably as high level as it gets. And we're really happy with those spots, but we found some areas that we need to work on, some things we need to improve. I've started off just doing pure technique in the pool with a little bit of explosive work. Nothing sort of over 15 to 20 meters at a time in terms of explosive swimming. And then I'm going to slowly edge that up, but I'm going to see basically where I can get to just technique-wise, perfect that before I start that full-on swimming program. And once a date is announced for the games, I'm going to sort of reverse engineer it and give myself a year to prepare, both in the pool and in the gym. So reverse engineer it, a year's worth of proper specific training for a 50 freestyle. And then obviously the other part of that will be, you know, doing that enhanced part of the preparation to supplement that work that I'm doing in the pool and the gym. And I guess the expected results of that part of it would be increased recovery, increased rate of adaptation to the types of training and you know, the work that I'm doing, which will hopefully mean, I guess, you know, every preparation you do, there's ebbs and flows and there's bumps in the road. No swimmer really ever does a perfect preparation. But maybe what this enhanced part of it can do is smooth out that preparation, so you're not dealing with, you know, we've all had days when we turn up to the pool to swim fast and the coach just says, no, not today. Well, no, good coaches say, not today. You're not in the right headspace, or your body's not right to swim fast today. Mm-hmm. When I was swimming with Brent, we may have two or three of those a fortnight where I'd come in and I was meant to swim fast that day, but he'd watch me in warm-up, he'd watch my technique, he'd watch my body language and just say, hop out, go home, come back tomorrow, we'll swim fast tomorrow. And a lot of that is around, you know, recovery and your body's adaptation to that speed work, to what you're doing in the gym and all of that. So maybe this hands part of it can smooth out those bumps in the road so that you are recovering adequately every session, so you're able to swim faster more often, and as a result see an increased rate of adaptation.
Yeah, that's really where I think you're going to see the biggest improvements or enhancements is in that recovery process, right? You're probably not going to see much difference initially in, you know, the type of speed and power you have in the water, but over time with the aid in recovery and the speed in recovery, then you're going to see, yeah, like you said, you're going to be able to stack workouts on top of each other that you might not have been able to stack before, right? So just give you a higher quality of work over time.
Former swimmers looking for a way to give back to the sport in New York City? Reach out to Imagine Swimming. Since 2002, they've been the premier learn to swim school with international and American staff, including Olympic champions Anthony Irvin and Eric Vint. Imagine Swimming offers infant to adult classes, plus competitive team options, water polo, and an artistic swimming club coached by an Olympic silver medalist. With flagship locations across Manhattan and Brooklyn, Imagine is always looking for the next generation of swimmers to pass on their knowledge and passion for swimming. We individualize training in the pool, so why not individualize your nutrition? Erica Biney of Biney Wellness Building will help you and your swimmers get exactly what each athlete needs through genetic testing and personalized nutrition plans. So stop guessing what you should and shouldn't be putting into your body. Athletes within a few weeks have noticed they're recovering faster because they're fueling their body with what they need and staying away from what their body hates. Erica understands swimming. She gets it. She's worked with over 20 Olympians, including the fastest man in the world, Caleb Dressel. Group discounts are available, so go to Biney Wellness Building and get in touch with Erica today. That's Biney, B-E-I-N-E, wellnessbuilding.net.
Back in, like, say, peak Auburn days, how many times per week would a Caesar or a Fred or a Matt Target be hitting peak speed?
Three. We would do three. We would do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday type situation where we would need 48 hours in between to fully recover. Yeah. And even then, you talk about fully recover, you never know if you get to that point where it's like we're ready to completely go again, but you still got to push it, right? So yeah, you're working through a system where you're only really hitting it three times a week. Now, in saying that, the idea is that, you know, you're getting the same type of hit in the gym as well. So like you could really say six times a week, cause you're doing three gym, three swim. But what we would do is we would stack the gym and the swim together pretty much. So you come straight from the gym, have a little bit of rest, you know, a little nutrition, and then go straight into the pool. So it's kind of like an extended workout. So, but ultimately it was three times a week. That's all we could do, you know?
Hmm. And that's why even with my training at the moment, so we're doing at the moment four quite explosive, high output gym sessions.
Mm.
And I finished that gym session, and like a couple of days recently, I've had radio that afternoon, and I can barely sit and focus for the radio because my CNS system is just fried. That's central nervous system, because I've been so explosive and had so much output in that session that then my body is just like done. And that's how I know that I've had a really good session, by the way, as well, is that if I'm mentally fried at the end of that session, you know, it may not on paper look like a huge output, but if I'm mentally fried, like I know that I've pushed it to my limits, then the rest of your day is like, and this is, you know, speed athletes, the rest of your day, you can't do much else. Such is the output that we can produce. So,
yeah.
and speaking with my S&C coach and some other people, that's where they think part of that output will be, with the enhancements, the ability to back up from that, to still have energy, to still be pumped, ready to go, and to be able to stack those sessions in a week. Much more so than I would be able to otherwise.
For real. Yeah. How did it feel to get back in the pool again after all that time?
It just feels natural. It feels like a habitat that where we belong in, right?
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
It feels nice. Yeah, it feels nice. It was funny. So I think when you were out here, you probably would have swum at the Allianz pool. It's called the Sporting Club of Sydney.
Yeah.
So
beautiful.
I've been swimming there. It's not far from my house. And the other day I went over to the lifeguards and said, can I do some dives off your blocks? Yep, no worries. And they're these really nice architectural swimming blocks, but basically normal top of the block with the kicker and everything. But instead of having a big blocky square bottom that attaches straight to the ground, they have like a single piece of metal that comes into the ground, so it looks nice. You can, you know, you can see from behind the block the pool still. There's no view obstructed.
Mm.
And I did my first dive off this block and nearly ripped the entire thing out of the ground. So I don't think, you know, it's a nice pool, it's a private pool, everyone's very, very friendly there, but I don't think it's designed. It's not designed for high performance or 230-pound guys doing race starts off the blocks.
No, that's pre enhancements too. Once you get the enhancements, you pull that thing off. You're gonna have to find a nice pool to do some training in. Are you planning on doing the majority of your preparation in Sydney?
Good question. I think we're going to have to see what can be done in Australia, what needs to be done overseas. A lot of the team from the Enhanced Games are over in London. I think a lot of the anti-aging clinics and people that I'd like to work with in that space are based in America. Mm. And then in terms of, you know, as a swimmer, doing training camps and preparing via training camps was probably one of my favorite parts about swimming, you know, getting out of your home environment, getting into what feels like a high performance, not just environment, but headspace. You know, you get away from home, you do training camps, you're with other swimmers. It feels a lot more high performance than just coming home to your normal home environment. So I definitely want to spend some time in the States, probably as much as possible in that year leading up to the games themselves. And then it's going to be, the other thing is going to be around access to facilities. I've got to find coaches to work with as well. which is also going to be complex, I guess, in some ways. I mean, I haven't had direct discussion with any of the governing bodies, but I'd say that someone like a Swimming Australia would want to distance themselves from something like this. They're probably just two separate products, you know, our current swim team and something like the Enhanced Games. So if a coach was on a current Olympic team or sporting organization, I'm not sure what the legalities would be there around coaching me or, you know, having me in their squads.
Right, right, yeah.
So there's some complexities. For sure. And that's probably going to be the hardest part is that swimming part, finding the facilities, getting access, getting coaches in the swimming world that can sit separate from those sporting organizations or maybe want to go in a slightly different direction. You know, I think if this thing takes off, and I think, and I'd love to get your perspective on it as well. I mean, you probably sit slightly outside of the conventional swimming world a little bit at the moment. I think this could be exciting. I think this could be an awesome TV product, broadcasting product. Even this documentary, I think, is going to be super interesting. And these guys aren't confined by a lot of the norms, say, in Olympic world. They don't have to stick to a four-year cycle. They don't have to have set sponsors so that athletes can't be, you know, covered in logos and making way more money. Like they basically can write their own rules. So I think this can be a really great opportunity both for athletes, but I think it can also be really entertaining. But yeah. I'd love to get your perspective on that as well as something that is a very new concept.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really interesting. And as you were talking there about a coach, you know, I was trying to think of a coach that has experience coaching people at that level, even a world record holder that doesn't have any associations with any, and I can only really think of one person. So, man, I'm over here in Irvine. You know, if you want to come over and hang out, we can do some stuff. I'd love to have you.
But, yeah. I think that would definitely be part of the plan. You know, I'd love to come do some stuff over there with you. Still lots of water to go under the bridge. It's definitely an offline chat, but that's certainly the type of person I'm looking for.
Yeah, but there's that. But like, look, honestly, I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of momentum it gets. You know, you talked about a documentary series coming out. You talked about them making some announcements in terms of when the games are going to be on, and then building momentum, and then starting to recruit athletes, right? And seeing how that progresses. I think once this thing, it's got a foundation, right? The foundation is there, and now it needs some momentum and kind of some forward movement. And so I think once we see that, then it's like, then we'll be able to separate ourselves from, you know, what the Olympic game movement is doing, what those people are doing, and a separation between what you're trying to do and what this foundation is trying to do, you know, like completely different things. Like you said, it's about entertainment, and just kind of pushing human limitations and capabilities. And I think that there are two different things happening there. So, yeah, you will see some separation for sure. And I think there'll be people that remove themselves completely from, you know, having any association with this. And then there'll be others that jump in the camp, you know. So there'll be a clear line down the middle. And it'll happen over time. But just in terms of the announcement and what you're doing is pretty interesting. One of the questions that is kind of coming up in my mind as you're talking here, it's like you can continue to talk about the commitment that you got to make and the time that it's going to take. I mean, the fact that there's $1 million on the potential of this happening down the line is good, but how do you fund it between now and then type thing? Like, it seems like it'd be a huge amount of money to go into this too.
Yeah, it will be. I think, look, that's the other part of the Enhanced Games that's going to be attractive for big name athletes, is they'll pay athletes to come on board. They'll pay you to compete in the games, which is the complete opposite to the Olympics, right? Like you would know, being an Olympic swimmer here in Australia, there's this really common misconception that we get paid huge money by the Australian Olympic Committee to go to an Olympic Games and compete for Australia. And, you know, one of the common things that I used to get during my career, if I was ever getting criticism, was the taxpayers fund these athletes. You know, there's almost a sense of ownership of Australian swimming by the public because the taxpayers fund these athletes. Mm. We own these athletes. They should be these role models. Well, as you know, certainly during my career, the Australian Olympic Committee never paid me a salary, a fee, anything like that to be a swimmer. We get a nominal amount from Swimming Australia, which sits separately from the Olympic Committee. They have their own funding and sponsors and administration, completely separate to the Australian Olympic Committee. But yeah, as an Olympic swimmer, we don't get funded by an Olympic association. The Enhanced Games will fund their athletes. They will also put money towards the training programs, the supplementation. They'll give access to doctors. So it won't be out of the athlete's pocket directly, which is, again, an exciting prospect for any prospective athletes thinking about doing this.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting, mate. I appreciate your time and kind of going through this. Like, look, there's going to be people that analyze this and say, you know, Brett didn't ask this and Brett didn't say that. It's really just you talking, you know, and just telling us your story and how it evolved and where it's going to go. We don't know where it's going to go, but it sounds interesting for sure. And look, I got contacted by a journalist in Australia as soon as this came out, and you kind of said something, and he asked me my opinion. He was like, you know, can James break the world record in the 50 free? And my initial response was no, like, he's not a 50 freestyler, and, you know, I just had all these initial thoughts that came to my head, right? Like, and first off, you're going to say no. Like, you give credit where the credit is due in terms of the world record. It's not a joke. It's a world record for a reason. Now, in talking to you today and all the things that you've said and, you know, the willingness and the ability to put your time and energy into this, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yes, there is a chance here. Like, you really are a chance to break this world record, especially if they allow you to wear the suit. I think that helps about 3/10. I'm going to give you about 3/10 right there. So if you were to somehow get yourself to a 21.2, 21.3 without the suit, which is highly possible, like you said, you were 21.5, right, without any real formal training for that type of event, then I think you're a big shot here, and it's exciting, and that kind of thing, that kind of challenge is exciting too. And the fact that you're going to be doing this in conjunction with a team of doctors and monitoring your health and doing it the right way, like you said, you're not taking stuff out the back of a truck, you know, it's not just have randomly whatever you want. It's going to be, you know, prescribed and documented in terms of the way it's going to be taken. I think you're a real shot here, and it's kind of, look, I'm going to say it, it's kind of exciting. It's like, wow, what is the limit of human potential, you know? So
yeah, it is really exciting. I think for the swimming nerds of the world, for the X's and O's, my goal would be, and most of this stuff will be behind closed doors, get myself into shape to go sub 22 naturally without a suit.
Right.
From there you've got a really good building block, right? You add in the suit, you add in the supplementation, then we're off to the races.
Could you legally compete in some open events just in the lead up to pre-supplementation before you started any program? Is that of interest to you, or are you trying to just do this completely away from any, you know, formal competition?
I think I want to do this behind closed doors to add to the intrigue and the excitement of it. I think probably going into this actual games before it happens, behind closed doors between me and my team, I'd say we're going to know whether I can break that world record or not. But for the world, I want it to be a surprise. I want it to be exciting. And like you said, most people's initial reaction is like, nah, not possible. But when you kind of boil it down to the basics, I think it can be done. I think it's the hardest world record there is, right? Caesar's 20.9 is the hardest world record there is. And it stood the test of time. So I'm certainly not disrespecting that world record, but I also find it kind of frustrating that we've had so many advancements in training and all those sort of protocols and that no one's been able to break it. Like that, I think that's kind of shows that maybe we're not doing the right things in the 50 freestyle. Maybe Cam now is changing that. Like I look at some of the other athletes that we've had in the 50 freestyle over the years and wonder, like, if they were doing Cam's training protocols that he's doing now, would they have broken it before now? I think
There's definitely a shift. Maybe. Even Bukov, the guy that beat Cam just recently, is training like Cam, like you would say, like Cam. So there are more people doing sprint training now. You know, even the fact that I'm pumping this sprint revolution, it's throwing the idea out there. And I guess that's the thing that excites me the most here, mate, is the fact that you're going to be a 50 freestyle sprinter. Like, that's the most exciting part. I'm like, hell yeah. Magnuson, a 50 freestyle.
I always wonder, like, looking back on my career, doing those huge blocks of training through my teenage years and early 20s, how much does that kill your speed? That's an interesting thought as well. So I think even having had this 5 years off, completely changing my body as an athlete and now going back into this with a different mindset, that's beyond the enhancements, beyond the world records and all that stuff. It's actually just as an athlete and with my mentality, it's really exciting and really motivating.
Well, listen, mate, a fit James Magnuson was a specimen to behold as it was, and now a enhanced, you know, 50 freestyle James Magnuson. I mean, you're going to be a real specimen, mate. It's going to be, you're going to be doing some photo shoots, I can guarantee you that. So, yeah, it'd be cool.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to the post-race double bicep flex.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait till you pump that and get a photo. Like, God damn. I love it, mate. All right, appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for your time, Brett. Look forward to an offline chat about these coaching possibilities.
Yeah, stay right there. Actually, I got something for you. Cheers, mate.
All righty.